Hi, I'm Nick Gregoriadis, and this is the Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood Podcast. The show for grapplers and martial artists that want to evolve both on and off the mat. Hey guys, welcome back to Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood Podcast. This is an interview I've been trying to set up for a long time, but due to the nature of the guest and his lifestyle, it's been kind of difficult. It's none other than my Jiu-Jitsu instructor, Roger Gracie. The guy needs no introduction. For those of you who've been training Jiu-Jitsu and simultaneously living underneath a rock on Mars, he is pretty much the best Jiu-Jitsu player ever to step on the mat, and he's proven it over and over again in every grappling arena imaginable. So it was a great privilege for me to be able to sit down with him and chat to him about his life and his Jiu-Jitsu. Hope you guys enjoy the show. Okay, guys, episode 12 of the Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood Podcast, and this is the one we have all been waiting for. You know, I put something up on the Facebook page saying we were interviewing Roger Gracie and if you guys had any questions for him, and we had such a huge response, never had such a big response for pretty much anything we put on social media. So it's obvious that you guys want to hear from the guy and hear about the guy, and you know, it's very kind that he's taken some time out. He's a busy person and he's got a lot of people wanting interviews and wanting his time, and he's invited me to his place to do an interview with him, which is very cool. And I'm sitting right here with none other than Roger Gracie. He needs no introduction. How are you doing, Hodge?
I'm very good, Nick. Such a great pleasure being here. You know, let's do this.
Yeah. So, Hodge, bro, I've got a lot of questions for you. The fans of Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood have got a lot of questions for you. The most pressing one that's been on my mind is your fight with Bush Asher. And there's no other way for me to ask it, but how the fuck did you do that, bro? How the fuck did you do that?
I think there's a lot of things involved, you know. And there's no one reason, you know, how that happened. I think it was a combination of things. I've been dealing with pressure my whole life, you know. First, I'm very confident about myself, you know, even though, you know, I walked into that fight knowing this is a hard fight, you know. And that was probably the hardest fight I ever did, especially all that happened before, because I mean, I've been away from the Jiu-Jitsu game for years. You know, the last time I fought a big tournament, it was 2010, and you know, 7 years later I'm fighting him. We fought 5 years ago, but honestly, you know, 5 years, I'm not giving an excuse or anything like that. You know, it was a great fight, it was a draw, you know, he's a great athlete, but I wasn't 100% in that fight, and I knew that. You know, like, I got tired very fast. All my preparation for the fight, it was a disaster. Like, you know, my game, it wasn't connecting. You know, all my training partners that usually I train really well against them, I wasn't, you know, all that prior that fight. I was struggling with people that usually I don't. And then I got a staph infection 2 weeks before, which, you know, the little game I gained on my preparation, you know, like I start losing because I had to take a lot of antibiotics. That was very painful, you know. There was stuff in my ribs, mm-hmm. on the skin. And then, you know, that fight, you know, in 7 minutes, I remember I was like that tired, and you know, it was a 20 minutes fight, and I was like, shit, this is bad, you know. Like before 10 minutes, my legs already shaking, but there was no point, so it's a slower game, you know. So I did well, but I couldn't implement what I usually do, you know. So personally, I didn't feel good in that fight, so I knew, you know, like whatever, was a draw. So for this one, you know, I've been looking for that retirement fight for a while, because you know, I love to fight jiu-jitsu, you know. I'm 35. I was like, man, and for me to go back, there's no point just having a last fight with anyone, you know. It's like, why? If I'm to fight anyone, I stay retired, you know. Like, yeah. I'll stop. I see, I know I want to put myself in that challenge again to, you know, to prove not to anyone, but to me, that, you know, that everything that I said to do when I was young, this is the game, you know. Like when I had the first fight with Bush Asher, because of that draw, he almost got my arm. There was a lot of impression that, you know, maybe Bush Asher is better than Roger. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he almost got my arm, you know, he attacked my foot. So in the rules of the fight, it was submission only. He put two locks on me and I did put no locks on him. Uh-huh. So, he was better than me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So for me, that was, you know, something that got in the back of my ear for years. It's like, man, you know, and I knew he's not, you know, I knew deep inside me that I'm like, man, I'm better than him and I'm better than everybody else. And but I need to put myself into that challenge.
Yeah.
And I knew, I say, man, for the fact that I was away from the game for so long, man, this is going to be hard. Because, you know, you don't see any other athlete that stay away from his game for so long and come back on top. I haven't seen that yet, yeah. You know?
You know, if I'm honest, Hodge, like, we were all worried, bro. Like,
I know.
Me, your father, all the guys at the gym. And, I mean, someone asked me, like, they said, who do you think is going to win the fight? And, dude, obviously, my loyalty is to you. You're the guy who gave me my black belt. But I kept saying, look, it's too close to call because, you know, Roger, there's no doubt your technique is better than anyone else's. But, you know, Boshesh is 20, 27, 28 years old. He's a fucking specimen. He's clearly been having a lot of acai with bananas, if you know what I mean. And he's right in the peak of his career. And I just kept saying, look, it's a very tough ask for a 35-year-old man to face someone like this. But if anyone can do it, Roger can do it. That would be the thing I would say. If anyone can do it, he can do it. And we were all so shocked by how easy you made it look. Do you think... Look, I'm pretty sure that you would have won that fight anyway, having seen the way you dismantled him. But do you think that that fight was easier than it really was because you just got... You happened to take his back that early in the match. Do you think if you hadn't taken his back that early, it would have been a longer war and it might have gone the distance? Or what do you think would have happened?
No, I think that the fight, it looked the way it did because I think he got nervous going into that fight. And I think there was a lot of pressure before. And because this, you know, this fight in Brazil, it was like any other jiu-jitsu fight I've been. You know, there was a lot of pressure prior because there was a lot of tension. You know, there was like on national TV in Brazil. I think the whole community, the whole world of jiu-jitsu and a lot of people outside, they saw that fight. There was probably the biggest expectation to a fight that I've ever seen. Not because I was there, but because I saw it, you know, because, you know, of my history, because of his history. There was no two jiu-jitsu athletes like us at this moment in such a high... such a high place, you know.
Yeah,
like he
yeah.
just won 10 times world champion, and I'm 10 times world champion, and suddenly this is like a clash of giants, let's say, in a way, you know.
Yeah
because we were both such a place sort of far ahead of the rest.
Yeah,
so that was very unique. And it's funny, like, this fight, it looked like an MMA fight. You know, the MMA events I've been, all the prep before with the press conference interview. You know, we go to the event, put in our hotel. Everything was the same as the MMA. And there's a lot of pressure involved.
Yeah.
The more expectation there is, the bigger the pressure. And the thing is, I've been dealing with that since I was born.
Mm.
You know, it's not easy to be born a Gracie. You know, that pressure, that expectation. I did MMA fights and all, you know, that heavy weight on your shoulders. Man, I've learned how to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
I learned how to deal with, you know, with press, with interview. No, it's true.
Yeah.
You know, in a prior a fight, and I don't think he did.
Yeah, I mean, I'm laughing because there was that video was on Instagram of the press conference. It was you standing in a black shirt. And I think you were talking to Kira, and they were interviewing, and Boshesha was standing a bit off to the side, and you were like, hey, Boshesha, come here, come here. And you kind of put your arm around his head, and I mean, you totally out alpha the guy. You know, he looked like a little kid, like his eyes were all wide. He didn't know what was going on. And you were like, you know, I've done this 1,000 times. So, and that was actually the point where my friend Nick Raphael, your student as well, Nick said, yeah, he's got the mental edge. And that's something that I've always tried to, you know, like, I can, it's quite easy to deconstruct your jiu-jitsu because it's a physical thing. Like, I'll look at, and I'll be like, okay, Hodja takes the back like this and he puts his foot here and he does X, Y, Z. But your mind, bro, is something. Steve Finan, another friend of ours, he always said that this guy's got a special mind. And I've, for years, I've been trying to figure out, like, where do you get that composure and that calmness from? Like, where is it? Is it something that you think is just a result of this constant years of pressure, or is it something you trained, or is it a combination of both of those things?
I think it's a combination of both. You know, it's not really something that I train. It's like, man, it's I think it's something that I have inside me. You know, yeah, I'm like, I don't accept defeat. You know, it's not that I love victory. I hate defeat. So that's something that in my mind, I do not accept it, you know? So when I fight anyone, I don't think in win. I'm just think I'm not gonna lose. You know, like that, there's no losing. Like there's no way that guy will beat me. I care 100 times more not to lose than for the win. Mm. I don't care for the win itself. Mm. I just cannot lose.
Yeah, you once said to me, second place is first of the last, right?
Yeah. Second place, you lost your first place. You didn't win second, you lost second.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd rather be less, you know.
Yeah, it's a cool way to think about it. So, Hodge, a lot of the guys wanted to know just about your regime, your training regime leading up to not only the Bushesha fight, but in general, like when you're getting ready for a jiu-jitsu competition. It's been my experience, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but me and a lot of the guys, when we watch you and how you train, we do see that you train quite hard, but not ridiculously hard. Like, I think a lot of the top guys, I think if Bushesha knew how much you train compared to him, he'd probably start crying, bro, because it's not like you do like 3 times a day and like that mad kind of training that some of the guys like at Atos and things like that do. It's you train hard, but with a limit. Would you say that's correct?
Yes and no. You know, I think there's been moments that was like super fit. Like when I fought the ADCC 2005, for example, man, that was the hardest I've trained in my life. And I only won that tournament because I've trained harder than everybody else, you know, because physically that was the hardest tournament I've ever fought. You know, like I had a great performance in that event. You know, I was able to finish all my opponents. But people, it's not because I finished them was easy fights. Like I went to overtime almost, you know, with half of them. Like before I fought the open on the last day, my last fight on my weight division against Kakarek was 30 minutes. Mm. So the warm up of the day was a 30 minutes battle. And damn, that's even before the open weight starts. Mm-hmm. So, man, I remember walking to that final. Man, I was exhausted. You know when your muscles are tired? But, but in my mind, there's no time to think, shit, I'm tired. Like, whatever, you know. You can be dragging your feet to the fight, but, you know, you have to fight. And
you're
there to win.
You're in the zone, basically.
Yeah. So, you know, there was moments that was, like, super fit. There was moment that was fit. You know, there was a moment that was not that fit. Yeah. You know, that I got really tired. So, I mean, it's like ups and down, but one thing is, like, the bigger the challenge, the more I push myself. So when I see that, you know, this is what I have to do, this is hard, man, you know, give me a challenge, and that's when I succeed, you know. That's why I want to fight Bushesha, because I don't want to fight anyone. I don't have motivation to fight the number three. Why? I mean, why am I going to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, go for a run or do my training? Man, for that guy, I will sleep.
You know? I remember you said to me, I called you up a week or two ago. I was kind of down about something. You said something that really stuck with me. I said, bro, have you ever been down? And you're like, yeah, the reason I don't really get down often is because I always have a goal in my life, whatever that goal is, whether it's a jiu-jitsu match or like something with my academy or whatever it is, and having those goals in place just keeps my mind off getting down. And I think that's maybe one of the keys to your success is throughout your career, you've always had like your goals. Like your goal was obviously you wanted to get your black belt, and then it was to win the world championships, and then it was to win the absolute, and then it was to win the ADCC, and then it was to fight in the UFC, and then it was to, you know, fight Bushesha or whatever it was. So I think that's probably the nature of your lifestyle with always having these goals. I mean, it probably makes it a little bit easier for you, if you would you agree?
Yeah, it definitely does. But, you know, it's the fact that I believe in my goals. That's what makes a difference. It's not the fact, you know, everybody has a goal, but what happened when you see that goal getting tough? You know, when you stumble and fall in the middle of the way, you know, how do you pick yourself up and carry on? Mm. I think that's the difference. You know, like I stumbled and fall many times before. You know, like I had 4 silver medals on the open in the world in jiu-jitsu before I got a gold one. Mm-hmm. 4. That's a lot. Mm. 4 years in a row, I got second.
Yeah.
And, you know, for then, finally, I got the first one. But in my mind, there was never a doubt that, you know, I can beat those guys. You know, like the bad breath, the referee decision, this and that, it was close. I don't care, man. I'm going to beat them. Like, it is not over.
Yeah.
That goal is not that tournament. You know, it's like it's a lifetime achievement. You know,
yeah,
I'm still going to fight them again. okay, they got the better of this time, but it's not over. You know, they're still, I'm still gonna come back stronger.
And that's cool. I mean, it's clear you just have a very high level of focus, and it's one of the things I've realized about life. If you want anything, whether it's financial success, or if you want to have a good relationship, or raise your kids well, or win the world championships, whatever, it's all about focus, man. It's really about eliminating distractions and focus. And I think what you add to it as well, as you said, it's that belief, and it's that belief in your goals. I would guess it comes from, as you said, the family that you grew up in. I once said to someone, I was in Brazil actually training, and I was training with someone who knew you, and I said, and he had trained with you when you were younger, and I said, well, what was different about Hodges training, or what's the difference? Because look, he's just a guy with two arms and two legs. Like, he's got a different name, but at the end of the day, he's a human being, but fuck, he's clearly a cut above the rest. And what's the difference? And he said, this kid always had this expectation on him, so they would always take you aside and show you and make sure your technique was excellent, because it was just expected that you had to have excellent technique. And there was no chance, you couldn't fuck around or do things half-hearted, because no, dude, you're carrying our name forward. And I mean, it just blows my mind that you took all that pressure and you just rode with it. It's very cool, dude. I respect that a lot.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for the fact that I was able to deal with that in such a good way, you know, that's why I succeed, because people that they cannot deal with any sort of pressure, man, when the pressure comes, they panic, and it's impossible for you to perform in such a high level, mm-hmm. if you panic, and you know, if you can't deal with pressure. And I think, you know, Buchecha got to be nervous in that fight, because, you know, you asked me if I, you know, expect, if I knew that fight was going to be that way. I think, you know, if you fight again, you'll be completely different, mm-hmm. because it's all about confidence. Mm-hmm. You know, he got nervous into that fight, so he couldn't perform usually the way he is, you know. Like, I never expect the fight to be that way, and no one did. Mm-hmm. You know, what you say before, he was the favorite. I knew that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been away, you know, I haven't fought, you know, jiu-jitsu like such a big tournament, 7 years. Mm-hmm. And he just won the 10th world championship 2 months prior to that.
That's wild, bro. Yeah,
you know,
that's
wild. Like, no one expect me to dominate him. Everyone, yeah. I say, maybe, you know, it's like, yeah. By 0.15 minutes, like, every single person thought that, you know, there's a big chance of me losing, you know. But when the pressure came, you know, he got frustrated, you know. I think he panicked, and he did the worst mistake he could, because he put me in one of my strongest position, which is, you know, is the back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the back.
Yeah, it's the back, you know, because when I swept him, I mean, it's okay, you know, sweep is a sweep. Mm-hmm. There's still a lot to go there. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that I'm on top, shit will happen, but, you know, but when I got onto his back, suddenly he tried to stand up. You know, he completely opened his back to me. Mm-hmm. It's not that I went there and I fought my way and got the hooks in and his neck. No. He gave me
that. He made a mistake. Yeah. So you know, this is maybe a tough question that you know how much I respect you, so please take this from a place of respect. But, you know, your name, your family name comes with this pressure. But also, you know, I was thinking about it, it also comes with this huge weight, like a figurative weight that your opponents feel, you know, because you have this huge family behind you. Almost all of them are supporting you. You know, you've got Henzo there. This event is called the Gracie Pro. It's run by your cousin. You know, like, your family has been responsible for such growth of jiu-jitsu and such development of the art. And how much of a role do you think that plays? Like, how, like, let's say it wasn't called Gracie Jiu-Jitsu and it was called Almeida Jiu-Jitsu, hypothetically speaking. Do you think that would have made a big difference, or how much of a role do you think that plays?
I don't think the name of the event really matter much. I think what you say is truth. You know, to fight a Gracie is not easy. You know, I see that. You know, I see some of my opponents, they just can't handle it. You know, like, when I fight them, you know, sometimes you feel that you can sense, you know, they're nervous. They, you know, they start making too many mistakes. It's like, oh, they get too worried. Oh my God, this is, you know, the family Gracie. You know, it is. But, you know, at the same time, who doesn't want to put a Gracie head on his wall? You know, who doesn't want to go and beat a Gracie? So it's good and bad at the same time. And I think, you know, what you say is true. You know, the person can get intimidated by fighting, you know, maybe fighting me, might have my family all behind me, and you know, it's like, oh man, it's not that he's fighting Roger, or he's fighting, you know, Roger Gracie, and Hensley's there, you know, Hillion and a lot of people is there. How say, oh my God, they're all there, and he looks behind him, who's with me? And then no one, you know,
because so, on the mat, it's just you. It's just you stepping onto the mat, right? They're not stepping onto the mat. You know, Hodge, you once said to me, I'll never forget it. You were like, I refuse to fight the Masters division. And, you know, you're 35 years old now, which is, it's to me, it seemed it's the point, the mid-30s. For me, it was 33 when my body just changed. It just wasn't the same, you know. And I want to know, are you feeling the effects of age at all? Like, what? And if so, in what way?
Look, I still feel great physically, to be honest. It's, of course, you know, I felt when I was 28, you know, I was better physically, I think. I had more energy. Now I'm more mature. About Fight Master, you know, like after this fight against Bushish, I decided to retire completely from everything, even MMA, you know, like I'm not fighting anymore.
Oh, I didn't know that. So you're not doing any MMA
anymore? I'm not doing anything anymore. Uh-huh. It's like, you know, I got such a point in my career. There's like, there's no more reason to it. You know, it's like, I've reached such a high level, and why should I fight more? You know, like I'll just
got nothing to gain, really.
Nothing to gain, and then it becomes about motivation. You know, like I say, for me to, because I always succeed. You know, I think I achieve what I achieve because I had such a high motivation for me to be here. You know, to get there, to be the best. I think that's why I am what I am, because I had that behind me. That always motivate me to push myself in the maximum, to be fully focused, you know, to like when I'm fighting, you know, like to when the fight is lost, suddenly you put something out of your sleeve. So I think that I had that, and now because I already reached that level, I mean, I would never be that motivated to fight anything else, you know, like to fight Masters just for the sake of fighting, because I miss fighting. It's like, of course I'll miss fighting, but I mean, it's not enough. I know if I do that, I wouldn't be the Roger Gracie I was, you know, so there's no point on me.
No, I completely understand that. So I guess I'm just going to ask a few of the questions that people have. No, actually, before we ask the audience questions, I've got another one for you, and I really want you to be honest with this, Hodge. This is not just about jiu-jitsu, just about life. What are you afraid of, man? What are you like? Because everyone's got to have some kind of chink in their armor. Like, what is it? What are the things that worry you about life? Or is there any aspect of life that you find particularly difficult? I guess I'm just looking for like a human aspect to you, because you've got to have some kind of kryptonite, right?
Man, not really, for you to be honest. Of course, there's a lot of things that you're scared of, you know. Like, it's like, is not paying attention to fear, you know. Like, of course, you know, sometimes come a thought in my mind, but I think, man, to be honest with you, the only thing that I fear, I was thinking that the other day, is not to see my kids grow, you know. I think as a fear, I think, you know, that's what I fear, you know, for me to die before seeing my kids become adult, you know, my daughter and my son, for them not to prepare them for life, not to be there to make them, you know, men, like to reach manhood, and my girl, to reach her, to become a woman.
Yeah.
And apart from that, man, of course I want to leave. don't take me bad. I'm not ready to die yet. But it's like it's things that you don't have control of.
Yeah.
It's like I try not to fear things that I don't have control of it. You know, people they fear. You know, they live in fear. They let that influence their attitudes, their lives. Man, I think of that as like, why, man? I cannot control what will happen tomorrow. I can only control what I'm doing now. You know, and that's what I do. You know, that's what I try to put into my life. Like, I don't give space to fear. Of course, you know, jump out of that building in a pool, there's going to be really nice. Of course, there's fear into that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
probably
yeah.
The time that I felt fear the most, you know, I jumped into out of a bridge in Rio, my hometown. It was like a 22 meters bridge.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, I was shitting my pants when I to jump on that. But you know, the things like that. Of course, you fear.
Of course, yeah.
You know, I don't have fear of height, but man, jump into a, you know, 22 meters bridge into the sea is like, oh man, it took me a while.
So another question I had for you, and in fact, this wasn't even a question I'd prepared until I met you earlier this morning, and there's a book that I read of about a year ago called Musashi, and I asked you if you had read it, and you were like, "Yeah, man, I've read that 5 times." And for those who haven't read it, Musashi's it's almost like a philosophical story about a Japanese wandering samurai who just wanders the land, and he's trying to learn more about himself through the study of Budo. And you told me that not only had you read that, but you've read a lot of books along that same kind of subject, like historical, the way we as a race of humans, we've had all these crazy epic wars and battles, and how these heroes emerge from it, and what war means. And I just wanted to know, like, I guess this is a two-part question. The first is, what do you think we're all doing here? And secondly, what do you think jiu-jitsu and the warlike nature of jiu-jitsu, how does it play into that?
I think everything is connected, you know, because it's the attitude and philosophy behind everything. For example, if you see, you know, like life, man, you have as the struggles you have on your life, you know, the problems. It's similar with anything. If you run a company, you're gonna have struggles and problems running that company. The same way that you have on your life, the same way that you have going to war, the same way that a general has, you know, in the battle. So all the struggles, all the problems, they are similar in a way, because is your attitude, is how you face them that will get you to succeed or not. And you know, if you're a successful general, you know, because you're facing that problem with a completely clear mind, you know, like, and the same thing, you know, building a company or running your life or family on everything else. So if you can implement one thing that you're able to succeed and your philosophy in everything else, man, everything is connected.
And how did you come to that belief that everything is connected?
You just see the similarities in things, you know, like, you know, you read about, for example, Genghis Khan, you know, like, you know, I read a lot of books about him, you know, a lot of fictions, some historical facts and things like that. But you know, then you think, is how was his mental, how did he achieve so much, you know? And that type of mentality, the same guy, they, you know, the biggest businessman he had, you know, he probably had the same mentality, the same to achieve his goals, you know, to face the problems of that. And you know, for me, it's the connection is there, you know.
Well, Haji, yeah, I mean, it's interesting to hear how you think, and I wonder if maybe you're descended from Genghis Khan, right? What is the thing? He's directly responsible for 1 in 8 people in Europe are descendants of his.
Probably yes. Yeah.
Okay, you can read between the lines there. So, the questions from the audience. What was the hardest fight from your career? I think you already answered that. It was the one with Boshesha, but I mean that wasn't even that. I guess leading up to it was difficult. But I guess what these people wanted to know is the hardest fight that actually you were in. The sorry guys, I'm falling off my words. You know what I'm saying? You know the question.
Look, I have two fights that I remember that they were really hard, because one was against Demian Maia. I was just a brown belt. He was a black belt already. And, you know, we faced like a 10-minute fight. And up to the middle of the fight, I was losing and I'm behind on points. That's what makes that fight so special, because, you know, suddenly I'm 2 points behind. I think it was 6 and I was 4, something like that. And I'm losing. And I'm dead tired. And how can you keep pushing yourself and over and win in that aspect, you know? And the same thing when I fought Ricardo Abreu, the Manchi, I fought him, I think 2009 or 10. We fought twice, I think, but you know, the or one, I don't remember, but it was one of fight I fought in the final of my weight division. I think it was 2009, if I'm not wrong, or 10. Same thing, man. There was such a speed. He came with such a fast pace from the beginning of the fight, and then suddenly, man, 5 minutes of the fight, or so, I don't know, 6 minutes. Man, I was that tired, but like that tired, and I'm losing. I say, damn, it's 2 points ahead of me or some advantage. I don't know, man. I was like, oh my God. But the thing is, he was tired too. So, you know, and the same thing is that mentality of not giving up, you know, not giving despair for the fact that you're tired. There's no doubt. You know, I'm like, I remember, say, you know, I was like, oh my God, you know, I'm in trouble, but there's no doubt that I never, not even once it crossed my mind that I say, oh man, I might lose this fight, or I may not win. That thought, it doesn't cross my mind. Mm. It's just the fact that I'm in trouble, I'm losing, and there's a lot of fight ahead. And you just have to go and deal with that, you know?
You know, it's very interesting for me because I think it's one of the reasons I didn't maybe do as well in jiu-jitsu as I thought I was going to, is because I had this, talking to you now, I realized it was a false belief. I always thought that when you get to the level like of a super black belt, like a Hodger Gracie or a Damian Maia or Marcelo Garcia, I always thought like it would kind of get easy. Like, you know, even when you're fighting in a black belt competition or in the mundials, that your technique is so far ahead that everything you do just works and it's kind of easy. And it's interesting for me to hear that for you, it's still a struggle very often in the match. It's still fucking difficult. It's not just like, okay, I want to do a sweep. The sweep just works like magic. It's like, fuck man, I'm fucking tired. And this guy he's pushing me and I'm kind of, you know, like you go down into those deep, dark holes, even when you're the best guy in the world, right? And I guess what's emerged from this discussion and the other discussions I've had with you is it's more a mental game than a physical game. You know, the techniques are, of course, important. It's important to know what to do from the different positions and to have strategy. But it seems to me the most important thing is to just have a strong mind and to have a strong will. Would you say that's true?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, a fighter who doesn't have a strong mind, he'll never reach the top. You know, that's why there's only few and on the top of his game in everything, you know, like there's thousands and thousands of people for one spot, you know. And to be honest, that's, you know, for you to reach that spot, you know, there might be people who train harder than you. You know, there might be some people who train twice as hard as you.
Yeah, I guess that's what I was asking in the beginning, like, because I would say there are some guys that train twice as hard as you and you beat them. And I think because we all think that there's this direct relationship. If you train 5 times a week, you'll be X good. But if you train 100 times a week, you'll be 20X good. It doesn't really work like that. There's so many variables that goes into the making of a fighter, and the volume of training it's an important one, but it's just one of the variables. Hodge, last couple of questions for you. We had some guy asking, what is your advice for a first-time competitor?
I mean, it's, you know, try to keep you calm. Don't spend all your energy on the right beginning, you know, like slow the pace down of the fight. I think that's, you know, like on the beginning competitors, when they go to fight, they think they have to start 100 miles an hour. You know, it's like, it's that speed that it doesn't stop. Like, you know, it's like constantly attacking. There's no pause to consider what's happening. You know, there's no, okay, let me breathe. Okay, I'm in a good position. Let him struggle. Let him spend in his energy. I think, you know, on the beginning, I would say, you know, try to slow the pace down of the fight. Don't make the whole fight in one pace. It's, you know, like it's ups and downs on the pace.
That's really cool advice. Hodge, just so that everyone knows, you've got an online learning resource, which is really cool. I actually have a subscription to it. Can you tell everyone about that?
Yeah, no, I think it's been launched for 3 months, you know, Roger Gracie TV. That's an amazing project that I've been doing. And, you know, to be honest, I put in everything into that website, you know, like that. All, there's no secret, to be honest, but all my techniques, all the there's some training sparrings that I do in the academy, you know, with people that come to train with us, with my students, you know, with Brawler, with my father. And, you know, I'm trying to put my knowledge all into the website, to be honest. And, you know, I'm not holding back anything. And I think it's a great opportunity to, you know, try to help people who really love jiu-jitsu and they want to learn. The people who don't have access to me, you know, all over the world, they can go there. And, you know, everything is there. There's the techniques, the idea, the fundamental behind it, me training. So even, you know, me practicing, me showing the technique, and at the same time, they can see me applying it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, once it's recorded, there's no secret. You know, slow down, you put whatever slow motion, and you see clearly, you know, like people think there's a secret behind that, you know, there's no secret, you know. Every time you go fight and you apply a technique in a tournament, what's the secret then?
Yeah.
It's there. Everybody saw it.
Yeah.
You know, so how, you cannot hide it. So, yeah, I'm very excited with that. You know, that's a long-term project, hopefully.
And if people want to check it out, they can go to rogergracie.tv. Is that correct?
Yeah, rogergracietv.com.
Oh, rogergracietv.com. Yeah. Okay, I'll put a link in the show.
Awesome.
Hodge, man, you know, every now and then I'm around people who, when I spend time with them, just by being in their presence, I can feel my consciousness has changed. And they could be very wealthy, successful business people. They could be philosophers. They could be scientists. I meet interesting people during my travels. And only a handful of them are truly special. And I can say for sure that you are one of the truly special ones. It's just, it's a great privilege to be in your presence. And I thank you for not only agreeing to come on this interview, but for everything else you've done for me. Thank you so much, my brother. A thousand blessings.
It's my pleasure, Nick. And, you know, it's an awesome thing that, you know, I'm very happy with my first black belt. Got such a great relationship and success, my man.
Thank you, my brother. The thing that always blows my mind about Roger is he's one of the people in this world who has every right to be arrogant and aloof and a bit of a dickhead. And he's none of those things. He is the most humble, calm, relaxed dude I've ever met. Not only that, he's also one of the kindest. You know, when I arrived in London 15 years ago and I was wanting to come train with him, I didn't even have the money to pay the academy fees. And he barely knew me and just said, "It's okay, bud, you don't need to pay, just train hard." And that blew my mind. I never really forgot that kindness. Another story about Roger is we had a guy, a good friend of mine from Angola. We were training at the academy and this guy's name was Elio. He injured his knee really badly during training and he had to have really, really extensive surgery. And I found out many years later, I'd always wondered because Elio didn't have much money. He was kind of broke, just a jiu-jitsu guy at the time, just training. And I always wondered how he paid for that surgery because he didn't have health insurance either. And I found out many years later that it was Roger that paid for that. And just, you know, it wasn't an advertised fact. And I don't think he wanted anyone to know, but that's just the kind of guy he is. He's just a very, very good human being. And I consider it such a privilege. Forget training with the guy or getting a black belt from him. I consider it a privilege just knowing the guy. He's just a fantastic person. I hope you guys enjoyed episode 12. I don't know how we're going to top that one, but I'm going to try. Remember, you can support the show by heading on over to store.jujitsubrotherhood.com, picking up any of our jujitsu gear. You'll get 10% off. Just use the coupon code podcast at checkout. And you can also get $15 off your first order of organic and free-range grass-fed meat from butcherbox.com. Just use the code JJB15. Thanks for listening, guys. See you in the mat soon. We'll be right back.